You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Christians demonstrate a growing understanding of the gospel and everything it implies. Find out more about this truth in week 4 of our series, Forward.
All right, good morning, 10 a.m. service. Could you give a high five to your seatmate and tell them, I'm so glad you could make it today. And we're so glad to have you guys with us this morning. Now, before we get to the word today, let me just introduce myself, especially for those of you who are here for the first time. My name is Tom, and I'm one of the campus missionaries here. And today is also a very special Sunday because today is Mother's Day. So before we just get to the word, I just want to give a quick shout out to all our moms, to all our mothers here today. Okay, happy Mother's Day. So if you're sitting next to mom, please give them a round of applause if you're sitting next to our moms. Now, today we're down to the fourth installment of our series called Forward. And if you're here for the first time, this series is all about having a better grasp or understanding of the qualities of what makes up a disciple. It's all about learning to become better disciples so that as we do so, it will allow us to grow and produce more fruit, allow us to be better as a disciple of Jesus. And before we get to that, before we get to our next installment, I do believe that it's also important for us, as we talk about disciples, it's important for us to qualify first as well, what is a disciple? For us to appreciate the qualities, for us to have a better understanding of them, we need to understand first or have a better grasp, what really is a disciple? When we say someone is a disciple of Jesus, what does it mean? Now, when we hear the phrase disciple of Jesus, one of the first things that pops in our minds is this person right here, Peter. Being one of the disciples of Jesus, okay, him, the other disciples, John, okay, all those other people. Now, if we look at them and their lives, we would come to see that when you talk about being a disciple, it involves three things. Discipleship or being a disciple involves three things. And that's really at the core of this whole series all about. All the installments revolves around these three things. The first of which is that a disciple is someone who follows Jesus. Okay, tell your seatmate, follows Jesus. We've talked about that in the first weeks of this series. We talked about spiritual disciplines, essential doctrines. And last week, when Pastor Archie was here, we talked about a life change. All those things revolves around the area of following Jesus. That as a disciple or a believer of Jesus, we are to follow Him. We are to obey Him, to follow Him as we walk in this new life in Christ. But not just that, but the disciple also fishes for people. And lastly, a disciple is someone who fellowships with fellow believers. Meaning that person does life together with other people, specifically other believers as well. Now for this day, for this Sunday, and specifically for the next Sunday as well, we'll be focusing more on the second one. And that is fishing for people. Tell your seatmate, fishing for people. Anyone here, you love or dream ninyo mag-fishing? When I was a kid, I always wanted to do fishing. And today, we're going to learn, or specifically in the next coming weeks, we're going to learn about the importance of fishing for people. Not fish, right, but people. Now, meaning, if we are here today and we call ourselves a believer of Jesus, we are following Jesus, and that is good. Part of our responsibility, part of the qualities that we should have as a disciple is that we need to fish for people. That is to say, fishing for people is not just something reserved for those who are in the full-time ministry. Fishing for people is for all of us. As long as you're a believer of Jesus, we are called to fish for people. As Matthew 4, verse 19 says, Jesus says here, and He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus, when He meets the first of His disciples, Peter and others, He tells them, follow me, the first part of being a disciple, following Jesus. But He also tells them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And again, a reminder for all of us, and we didn't just invent this, but really it reminds us that for all of us here today, if we claim to be believers of Jesus, then it is an inescapable truth that part of what we are is that we are called to go out there and fish for people. We are called to go out there and preach the gospel. Whether you're a student, a single professional, or if you're married, whatever season of life or status in life you are in right now, you are called to go out there and preach the gospel. Tell your seatmate, you are called to preach the gospel. I have some pictures here of some of our victory groups. These are victory groups of different age groups. We have students, single professionals, and married people. Just to show us, to remind us that there is no age limit when it comes to preaching the gospel. There's no age limit when it comes to reaching out people, like fishing for people. Whether you're in your 60s or when you're in your teens, you are called to go out there and preach the gospel. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking as you're looking at these pictures, you're hearing the word, man, it's about preaching the gospel. It's about fishing for people. For some of us here today, we might be thinking, man, how can I do it? How can I possibly go out there to my company, to my workplace, to my school, to my family, or to my community? How can I go out there and fish for people? I don't know how to go about it. And before we get to the how-tos and how to preach the gospel out there, it's important for us first to have a good grasp of our understanding of the gospel. That means for today, our fourth installment about our four-word series is all about understanding the gospel. There you sit with understanding the gospel. Today, for the next couple of minutes, we're going to be refreshed about the gospel. Because just like any good salesman, if you are into sales or into business, diba? If you are to be a good salesman, you need to have a good knowledge of your product. You need to know what you're delivering or what you're selling. The same way for us to be effective in fishing for people, in preaching the gospel, we need to first have a good grasp of what the gospel truly is. What is this? We will be motivated. We will have this passion to preach the gospel out there. So that's why we need to have this installment. We need to have a better or good understanding of what the gospel truly is. So are you guys ready for the word today? Yeah. All right? We need to first understand, okay? What are the implications when we believe and grow in our understanding of the gospel? For today, that's going to be our main thing. What's the big thing when we understand or when we believe the gospel? Because in doing so, this will help motivate us to preach the gospel out there. When we realize the big ramifications, the big implications, when we hear and understand or grow in our understanding of the gospel. Right? So first things first, what is the gospel? Since we're talking about it, what is the gospel? What is this thing that we keep on talking about? Now we have victory groups about it. We have one-to-one for it. What is the gospel? And for all of us here today, as a quick summary for us to have a good grasp about it, the gospel is this. Dr. Rice Brooks gives us a good summary of what the gospel is. The gospel, okay, is the good news that God became man in Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God, offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins for those who repent and believe in his name. So in a nutshell, that is the gospel. This message, this good news that God became man in Jesus. Okay, the first thing is the gospel is good news. That is it, mate. Good news. Okay, the gospel is good. It's not just any news. It's not just any message, but it is good news. And how many of you today, you love good news. You love to hear something good. But all of us, there's no one hearing, man, tell me something bad today. No one here in the right mind would say, you know what, gan ko makabalo og something terrible that happened today. No, we all want to hear of good news. We all want to hear good things. And especially good news. When you say good news, it means it already happened. We all long or want to hear something that's good. I remember when I was younger, some of you might not know this guy, but for those of you at least age na ko and older, you're familiar with this guy. Are you guys familiar with this guy? That's Mark Logan, for those of you nga at least kaedad na ko, okay? This guy was known sa TV, if you watch the news. This guy was known because he had this segment and all that he did in his segment was good news. All that he did was funny news, something funny, something good. Never about the sad kind of news. And when I was younger, right, the only thing I would watch on news, sa TV, whether that be ABS-CBN or GMA or whatever kind of news program, was this guy, the good news. And of course, the late Ernie Barong's mga scientific segments niya sa news. And I wanted to hear from this guy because it was good news. It was funny news. And the same thing with us. We love to hear good news. Anyone here, you've had an experience na you had a great experience somewhere. Like, let's say you just watched a movie. What's the last movie you saw ba? Anyone here, last time you had a great movie experience at Rob or wherever ba? Wasn't there a time that you couldn't help but share to your friends? Uy, kita na muna yung movie. May grabe kayo ba? Ang ending ba? Joke lang, okay? But how many of you had that experience? You can't stop talking to people about it. Or what about travel? Kasi yung you had summer vacation na sa beach, sa bukid, sa Balay Ninyo, staycation. Grabe siya laking aircon sa Balay, bro. Grabe. Okay, for those of you who love traveling, for those of you who travel or went someplace, diba, especially pag first time, you can't help but share to your friends, to your family, hey guys, muning gibuhat na ako. This is what I did. I went to this place with all the pictures, with all the videos, with all the touristy things that you did in that place. Or if you went to a restaurant and you had a great dining experience, bro, lamig kayang pagkaon dito, lamig kayang drinks dito, okay kayang service. Diba, these are things that we can't help but share people. Whenever we experience something that is good, something excellent, something great, we can't help but share it to people. Have you ever had a friend na wala siya ilang gishare but katong good experience niya, but di siya muundang og storya? Have you ever had people like that? We are like that. And the gospel is like that. The gospel is good news. Not just any news, but good news. What we have here today, if you are a believer, the gospel is something that's so good that we shouldn't just keep it to ourselves. It's something so good that we need. It has to be brought. It has to be preached. It has to be preached to everyone as much as we can. The gospel is so good that we should have it in our minds. Man, these people are missing out something so good. And that's why I need to share the gospel to them. It is so good. Good news. And a lot of us, I'm saying this because sometimes we forget that it is good news. Sometimes we forget that, man, this news is so good that it can change the life of a person. The gospel is good news. And the good thing is, all of us here today, we have that good news with us. We are bringing that good news with us every single day when we live our lives. When we go to our campuses, we're bringing the gospel with us. When we go to our workplace, we're bringing the gospel. When we go on, we live in our families, our communities, we have the gospel with us. We have something so good with us 24/7. 24/7, that is the gospel. So good. And what is the gospel? Again, the good news that God became man in Jesus. Lived the life we should have lived. Died the death we should have died in our place. He resurrected 3 days later, proving that He is the Son of God. And He offered the gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins to anyone who believes in Him and repents of their sins. The second thing the gospel tells us is that the gospel reveals who Jesus is and why He came. As I mentioned earlier, as I said about the summary, it mentions or reveals who Jesus is, who was Jesus, and it reveals why He came to this earth. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. Peter, after he received the Holy Spirit, went out, preached the gospel, preached to the people. And one of the things he said was, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Peter is telling them, this Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. Christ meaning the Messiah or the Savior. When we hear the gospel, the good news of the gospel, it tells us that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Tell your seatmate, Lord and Savior. He is both Lord and Savior. Let me just tackle on Savior first. Jesus being our Savior. The gospel reminds us that Jesus is these two things. It reveals who He is and His mission. And firstly, Jesus is our Savior. Okay? As we read in the gospel summary, He came into this world. God came into this world as Jesus to live the life we should have lived. The perfect life that we couldn't achieve. Anyone here, you live the perfect life? Wala naman siguro, di ba? No one here is able to live the perfect, sinless life. That's why Jesus had to come and live it for us. And then He died the death we should have died in our place. Because as the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Ang kapalit, the result, the consequence of all our sins is death. Not just death physically, but the death, the results, meaning eternal separation from God. But Jesus died in our place. He lived the perfect life, died the death that we should have died. Why? To save us. To save us from our sins. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." That verse reminds us that God came into this world as Jesus to save us. Jesus is our Savior. But did He come? To save us, because we needed saving. We couldn't save ourselves. There's nothing we could have done to earn our salvation. There's nothing we could have done on our own merits to live the perfect life and be saved. God had to do something. He had to intervene and save us through Jesus. That is why He is our Savior. And the good thing, just the amazing effect of Jesus saving us is that in Romans 8, verses 1 to 2, it says there, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That for those who are in Christ Jesus, we are completely forgiven of our sins. That there is forgiveness of all our sins. Whatever sins you did in the past, the sins you did 5 minutes ago, the sins that you're going to do in the future, in Christ, there is complete and total forgiveness of our sins. Not because we've earned the forgiveness, because we're doing good things to negate those sins. but because of Jesus' grace and mercy. Because of what He did on the cross, of that we have access to the forgiveness that comes from God. Not because of our own merits, but because, again, Jesus saved us. And as a result, there is no condemnation. It doesn't mean that we can just sin as much as we want, certainly not. But it tells us that in Christ, there is no condemnation. God convicts, yes, but not condemns. Because Jesus is our Savior. It goes on in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." We are set free. Second thing about Jesus, Jesus is our Lord. The gospel reveals that He is Savior and He is our Lord. And it's really important because a lot of us, we are okay with the first part, Jesus being our Savior. But how many of us wouldn't want to be saved? How many of us wouldn't want to hear the good news that, man, this is what Jesus did for us. This is what God did for us. He died on the cross. That's how much He loved us. That's a good thing to hear. But not just that. After Jesus saved us, after He rescued us from who we were, Jesus is not just our Savior, but He is also our Lord. Tell your seatmate, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. When we say Lord, it means someone is our master or a boss, or for those of you who are working. And society-wise, culture-wise, somehow we don't like it when we hear the words master or boss or sometimes leader mangani. When we hear about that, sometimes there's this feeling or notion or mindset that creeps into us na parang mag-killjoy, mag-lain man. We don't like it when someone is our master or leader. It makes us feel like slave da or something. But Jesus is a good kind of Lord and Master. We're talking about someone here who was willing to die on the cross for us. Someone who knows what is best for us. Because diba, sometimes we don't know what's best for us. Sometimes we're clueless to know what really is best for us. Sometimes we don't know what we do with our lives. But Jesus does. Him being God, He knows exactly what's best for us. Okay? He knows what we ought to do with our lives. That is why He is a good kind of Lord. He's a good kind of Master. He's a good kind of leader or master to have. Unlike the tyrannical or the dictators in our history, like tyrant earthly kings, whom people die for the earthly king, Jesus, in His case, He died for His people. He's the kind of king and leader who was willing to die for His people. That's the kind of Lord and Master that we have. Someone who's willing to die for us because that's how much He loved us. And wouldn't we be willing to follow, to obey to someone who's willing to die for us? Jesus is Lord. And if you're wondering, why is He Lord? Why is He Master of us? Because in the Bible, in the Word of God, it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, when Christ died for us, when His blood was shed, or do you not know, as He says there, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Verse 20, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Because of what Jesus did for us, when He died on the cross for us, when He took us, okay, from the grasp of the enemy, from our sins, from the power of our sins, when He did that, we were being bought with a price, the price being Christ's death on the cross. So that is why, because Jesus saved us, it only logically follows that we are to obey and follow the person who saved us. And the gospel tells us that, meaning He is our Savior, but also importantly, He is our Lord. Jesus is our Lord. Kaya the first part of being a disciple is that we need to follow Jesus. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. And how can that someone follow Jesus if that someone does not recognize Jesus as Lord? It's as simple as that. Jesus is Lord and He is our Savior. The gospel reveals and reminds us whom Jesus is and what He has come to do to save us and to be our Lord and Master in our lives. Thirdly, the gospel reminds us who we are. The gospel reminds us who we are. It gives us a sense of identity when we hear the gospel. What do you mean by these things? The gospel reminds us who we are. See, not only does the gospel tell us who Jesus is or reveals us of the good news of what God did or what Jesus did, but it also reminds us who we truly are, our identity in Christ. And I put the reminds because a lot of times we tend to forget who we truly are. If you are here today and you are a believer in Christ, your identity is hinged on what Jesus did for you. Not on your own merits, not on your status in your company, in your campus, not based on your job, not based on your talent and skills, not by the number of your Facebook likes or your Facebook friends. Our identity is hinged on what Jesus did for us. It's secured in Christ. But a lot of times we tend to forget. I don't know if you're here today, you tend to use mga reminders or mga sticky notes, post-its to remind you of things. I don't know if you're here today, honestly, you tend to be a bit forgetful. Diba? Ako personally, I can be forgetful. Nakatry na mo nga, nangita mo sa shades ninyo, nara sa ulo ninyo. You forget where your keys were, then nara sa pocket ninyo. You spend 30 minutes looking for that item, yung pangita ninyo, but nara sa kamot ninyo. Ako, I had that experience, okay? A lot of times, we can be forgetful. And in fact, there's a lot of movies as well that talks about people forgetting or losing their memory. Like these movies, some of you might have seen these movies. Finding Dory or Nemo, Born, Identity, 50 First Dates, and all those things. And there's this one particular movie about forgetfulness that really is Finding Dory. It's an Indian movie. It's called Get Genie. That movie, it talks about a person who has this certain amnesia. Every 15 minutes, he would forget. He would have an amnesia every 15 minutes, meaning his memory intact, but at the 15th minute, then he would forget everything again. Then it's really sad because he needed to use certain things to remind him. He would have post-its, a diary, recordings, and sometimes he had tattooed on his body just to remind him of certain things, especially his mission in that movie. I'm using that, I'm saying that because just like that, we too sometimes can have a certain kind of amnesia, a spiritual amnesia, if you will. Now, a lot of times, when we face challenges in life, when we face difficulties, mistakes, failures, and suffering, a lot of times the enemy uses those things to make us forget of our identity, to shake us up, to condemn us, to instill fear, doubts, worries in us, to make us forget, to make us feel amnesiac, if you will, of our true identity in Christ. And the enemy does those things. And what is our identity? John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But to all who receive Him, to all who receive the message of the gospel, to all who believe in Christ, yes, Jesus offered the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins, but not just that. To all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." All of us here today, if you are here today, if you are a believer of Christ, you're a follower of Jesus, your identity is not just so-and-so. Your identity is not just a worker in this company, this student of this school. You are first and foremost a child of God. Tell your seatmate, you are a child of God. Do you believe that your seatmate is a child of God? Huh? Some of you are doubting, sure, buddy. We are children of God, sons and daughters of God. And the enemy, because Jesus defeated the enemy on the cross, we have been set free when Jesus died on the cross. The enemy, medyo sore loser enemy. He tries to throw in lies in us. He's trying to make us feel that we are not a child of God. But the reality is, again, we are a child of God. And there is big implications when we are a child of God. For example, for any of us here today, earthwise, if you were to discover, if a letter comes to your home, a news is announced, or your parents suddenly tell you, or whoever tells you, you know what, you're actually, quote-unquote, part of this family. You're descended from this family. You're part of the royal family of England. If someone were to tell you, you know what, you are the long-lost cousin of Prince William, okay? Or you are the great-great-great-grandson in the lineage of the Filipinos, ni Queen Elizabeth. If someone were to tell that you were actually part of the royal family, how would you feel? You'd be shocked. You'd be like, ah, royalty, there you go, okay? Well, we'd be amazed. We'd be shocked. What? Royalty? It would change the way we live our lives. It would change the way we see ourselves. It would change the way we look at ourselves. Man, in any they go, royalty they go. The same thing, okay? Even greater than the royalty of Great Britain. We are not just royalty in a sense na, in the earthly kind of royalty, but we are God's children. Our Heavenly Father is no other than God Himself, the creator of the universe. We are His children. That should shake us. It should hit us with big implications. Man, grab it. Our Heavenly Father is God. And what does it mean? What is the big implication of that? Three things, three simple things. Acceptance, security, significance. Knowing that we are God's children, because the gospel tells us that this is what God did for us, knowing that we are His children, gives us the assurance of acceptance, that we are loved because we have a Heavenly Father, security, because our future is secured. We're going to have eternal life in Christ. And significance, it tells us we are important. We are significant. God was willing to do this much because He loves us. He accepts us. It gives us security, and it tells us we are significant. You're not a nobody. You're not worthless. You're not just so-and-so. Your circumstance, your challenge, your failures, your suffering, it may tell you otherwise. But reality is that you are a child of God. And to God, you are accepted. In Christ, you are secured. Because of what Jesus did, it tells you you are significant. Tell your seatmate, you are significant. We are significant. Fourth and lastly, the gospel leads us to life change. We talked about this last week. A part of a disciple, our quality is that we have to have life change. But for life change to first start, yes, life change is a process, a continuous process. But one of the first things that kickstarts that life change is hearing or receiving the gospel in the first place. The good news in the first place. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after Peter preached his sermon, tells them about who Jesus is, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized." Because the people were saying, "What should we do?" When the people heard what Peter had to say, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. They were asking, "Peter, what should we do now that we've heard about this message about Jesus?" And Peter tells them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter tells them, "Repent and be baptized." Repent. Basically, what Peter is saying that if you want to have a new life, first things first, you need to repent. Turn away from your sins. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of direction, that results in a changed life. It starts with our mind. We've talked about this in our life change. The change of mind is a result from having an encounter with the truth that comes from the gospel. And that's why the gospel is very important, church, because when you have the gospel, when you preach the gospel to your classmate, workmate, to your neighbor, to your family member, when you do so, that good news does something in the life of the person, that it changes them. It produces life change in that person. It's kind of like having a miracle cure for a certain disease. But imagine, if you will, if you have a miracle cure, a miracle pill to cure any illness, any major illness, cancer, diabetes, whatever kind of major illness that may be, let's say you have that miracle cure. Wouldn't you want to use it on your friends, your family members, all your known associates? Wouldn't you want to use it para ma-save sila, ma-ayos sila, so that they would get healed? We all would want to use it. We all want people to get better. Here's the thing, we have that certain kind of miracle cure, and that is the gospel. The good news, the good message that changes the lives of people, radically alters the life of people for the better, for the best. The good news that brings hope, that brings joy, that brings love and meaning to people. When people hear of the gospel, it tells them how much God loves them. It tells them that this is what God did for them. It tells them who they are. It brings hope again and joy in the lives of people. That's why the gospel is such good news. Third statement once again, the gospel is good news. It is good news. It is great news. So good that we shouldn't just keep it for ourselves. It produces life change. And as I end, a couple of things about the gospel. The gospel is very important because the gospel being the good news, it tells us that God has dealt us of our past. You know, the amazing thing about the gospel that it encompasses everything around us in our lives. When we hear the gospel, it tells us that God has dealt of our past. Our sins, what we did before, He's dealt it on the cross. But not just of our past. Jesus offers a new life in the present. He offers life change in the present. For all of us here today, living today, the gospel is not just something that's for the past lang, but even right now, for the present, as we are living our lives, the gospel is very important. We shall never grow out of the gospel. Parang, "Oy, okay na ko, I've learned everything from the gospel." All throughout our lives, we need a rediscovering of the gospel. The more we learn and grow in understanding of our gospel, we grow in how we live our lives. We go in our life change. And thirdly, the gospel secures us of our future. It tells us that our future is secured. That when we die, we will be with God. We will be with Jesus. We are secured of our future. The gospel affects our past, our present, and our future. Isn't it amazing? It just envelops everything. That's how important the gospel is. so important fact that as I wrap this up, let me end this with this quote from Tim Keller. It says there, the gospel is not just the A, B, C's of Christianity, but it is the A to Z of Christianity. And the gospel is not just some basic learning something or basic doctrine in Christianity. And then after that, we move on to something higher. No, it is everything in Christianity. The A to Z. Everything revolves around it. There is no higher theology from the gospel. Our lives will revolve around the gospel. That's why we need the gospel. I remember when I was a new Christian, okay, some of my leaders would tell, have you taken your vitamin G today? Vitamin G, meaning the gospel. Meaning, have you refreshed, reminded yourselves of the gospel today? And true enough, a lot of times when I feel discouraged, when I feel lonely or sad, when I feel not all right, I'm struggling, when I'm challenged, a lot of times the cause is simply a lack of that vitamin G. A lack of being reminded or understanding of the gospel. And that's why we need the gospel daily. We need to remind ourselves of the gospel daily. Whether you're a new believer or you've been a believer for so many years, you need the gospel every day of your life. Because the gospel has major effects and implications in your life. The more we learn and the more we grow them. Because they're not just the ABCs. We are the A to Z of Christianity, of our lives.